this is a great blessing for our life. And some of the songs we were singing, Behold the Comets, riding on the clouds. Hallelujah. Lift my hands to the coming King. And that first one we said, His goodness will lead us home. Where are we going? He's going to come back for His people. He's leading us to that place where our real home and our real destiny is. And that is in Christ Jesus. It's going to be eternal. It's going to be beautiful. Praise God. Amen. It's going to be something incredible that probably the limitations of our words will not be able to fully describe. In fact, we've never been to heaven yet. But we're going. Then we're on our way, as that song says. We're on our way to heaven, we shall not be moved. Hallelujah, yes. What a truth today for our lives. You know, we can get so bogged down, as I said earlier on, about the issues that so easily trip us up and can complicate our lives. But hey, what a great focus it is to be able to say, I know where I'm going. I know where my destiny is, and my destiny is eternal. Praise God. That's a message that unbelievers will not have in their lives. It's sad, isn't it? Yeah. You know, you can talk to all sorts of people. They'll tell you all sorts about what they've calculated in their thinking is, but actually, it ain't the truth. The truth is in Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Who says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. This is the truth for our lives. God has revealed it to you and me, and we live in it. It is our hope and our certainty for that place beyond the grave. Hallelujah. Grave, sadly, is something we've all got to face one day, isn't it? I don't particularly like the thought of it, but I love the thought of our eternal destiny and the promise of God for this beautiful place called heaven that we're going to be dwelling in one day. Hallelujah. Well, perhaps we can even taste a little bit of heaven today. I think so. The more you get closer to Jesus, you discover more and more of that precious place. Well, this place for our lives is eternal destiny. By the way, I just want to mention where this sort of word come from, because I'm sort of working on a book at the moment, and it's sort of around the life of Caleb. And Caleb was a tremendous man of faith. It tells us that he was as strong at 85 as he was when he was 40. So I want to say to all our folk, people here are edging towards that upper end. When we're all going to get there one day. There's a provision for our lives in the physical, which I believe Caleb had, and I believe we can have too. And there's nothing negative about getting old. Can I say that? You know, maybe you think, you know, you see your limitations starting to wane a bit. I mean, I know exactly what you think, what you're talking about. You know, you can't do the things you used to do. But that wasn't true for Caleb. What made the difference with Caleb was that he was of a different spirit.
Yes.
That's what it says. Him and Joshua were the only ones that could see the positive of God's promises for the promised land that they went into. And they brought back the good report. Hallelujah. You know, all of what we have today and what we've come through and what God has brought us to is to bring us to a place where we can share in the positiveness of this vision and the truth of the promise of God. And of course, we need to live by faith for that, don't we?
Yeah.
And so this word comes from this thought that actually, as you get older, there's no need to actually allow the negativism of this fallen world and the fact that, you know, our years here are getting less and less remaining to spoil what God has put into your life. Hallelujah. In fact, God can use the tremendous experience, I believe, that you all have as you've been walking with Jesus, what God has put in your life, what God has shown you, brought you through the trials of life. What a tremendous experience and testimony that we can have to share our lives with those who are maybe just starting out in the walk, you know, with all the challenges that the future may hold. I want to pray today that through this message of Beyond the Grave, we'll be encouraged. We will know that actually that ain't going to be the end. And you're probably, maybe you're thinking this morning, well, we know that. The Bible tells us it. But do you really know it in your spirit and your heart that actually the grave could not hold Jesus and it will not hold you? Hallelujah. That's just the passing through point. You know, we've got something a lot better and a lot more precious than that. You know, our life, the gift of God to your life, is for everlasting. And let me share these things. Let me show you some of the things Jesus said. He said, you know, it says in Revelation 21 that those who win the victory will receive this from me. I will be their God and they will be my children. And I love that verse, you know, because this sits at the very center. And I believe this is God's motivation for all that is going to happen, all that he's done since Jesus came, since he created the earth, was to have a people of which we are part, who we can call his children. He can actually say, these are my people. You know, and when he talks about my people, they're going to be a people that are going to share an everlasting destiny. Because that's what it was all about. It's so that actually this gift, this gracious gift of life, will never cease. We've got this eternal blessing that has been provided for us through his son Jesus. And what a great blessing it is. You know what? It's all for the glory of God. It's all for the glory. But yes, we're going to be great. We're going to benefit and we're going to be recipients of this amazing promise, but it's for his glory. Amen. He must sit and will receive his glory. So it's God's desire to share his life with his people, whom he calls his family. We are his family. Amen. We're not outside of the fold here. We're part of his family, whom he loves and cherishes and has made these promises to us. In Revelation 21:3 it says, I heard a loud voice speaking from the throne, and now God's home is with his people. That's true for now, but it's also going to be true in fulfillment in the days ahead. And he goes on to say, he will live with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. Hallelujah. When God created Adam and Eve in the garden, that was what it was about. Amen? It was about having a people who he could walk with and talk with and share an intimacy with that would never die, never cease, never stop. And of course, we all know it sadly went wrong. What did Jesus say about eternal life? Speaking to Martha, he said, coming to the situation where Lazarus had died, and you know the story of Lazarus who was raised from the dead. He said, those who live and believe in me will never die. Glory. This is something to praise God for. Amen. You're never going to die.
Hallelujah.
We're going to die. That's the words of Jesus. And then he goes on to say, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe that you're never going to die? I'm speaking to myself here, because I went through a time in my life, and I'm not quite whether I'm fully out of it, but I hated the idea of the grave. I hated it. It's horrible. You know? Just speaks of nothing. But Jesus said, but you're never going to die. What is he saying? In John 10:10, he says, I have come in order that you might have life and life in its fullness. What is he talking about? Matthew Henry says this, life in abundance is eternal life. Without death or fear of death. Does anybody get affected by the issues of death here today? I want to tell you, God wants to set us free from that thing. You know, because he is a God of life and even everlasting life today. And praise his name for that. And so I want to just pick up this little story with Martha, which I think is an amazing story. You know, if you've got any doubts about whether Jesus is the source of life, you know, this story of Jesus coming and raising up Lazarus from the tomb, can man do that? I only know that this must be God who can overrule the grave. Amen? Because he said, this is what he said when he heard that Lazarus was dead. He said, Lazarus is dead, but this has happened in order to bring glory to God. And it will be the means by which the Son of God will receive glory. So through what was a horrible situation, a lot of mourning, a lot of weeping, a lot of desperation, Jesus says, but this will bring my glory. This will bring my glory. And if you look, when we look in it, we haven't got time to look at the whole story, but Martha complains to Jesus and says, you know, if only you'd have got here a bit earlier, he'd have been all right. And Martha fails to see something here, which I think we need to see, that because Martha said, actually, you can pray. You can, if you pray anything, it will happen. So she had a pretty strong faith, didn't she? You know, she believed that if Jesus got on his knees and prayed, that actually Lazarus would be all right. But she missed something. She missed that actually life was in Jesus. And in him. And he was the source of life. Because he goes on to talk here. He says, your brother will rise to life. And so, I want to challenge us today to see that, and I know you know this, you know we can know things theologically and doctrinally. Do we really know today that in Jesus is the very source of life itself? If you read Colossians 1, you will see that he was in the beginning and that everything was created and made through him, Jesus. This is why you cannot bypass Jesus in any shape or form. He is the one who has the authority to give life. And so it's within him and within him to be able to speak into a situation that is dire. And, you know, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. 4 days. And yet he knew. This wasn't an issue of hitting her on knees and praying. He was going to speak that life right into Lazarus's life. I praise God for that, don't you? Because, you know, That's what Jesus has done for us and done for you and me. You may not be dead, but you were once dead in your sin. And he has spoken life into your life and my life today, that we might be living in that place we are today. Look at his response to Martha here. You see, he is saying, but I'm the source here. I'm the source of everlasting life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And he says, again, your brother will rise from life. Hallelujah. Jesus can whisper into your lives today, you will rise to life and you will meet me. And we will. There will be that reunion in heaven one day. Hallelujah. Because I am the source of life and there is no other. That's been imparted to him. He had it from the very beginning, right from the start of everything. Jesus was. Hallelujah. You know, I get quite sad when I hear people demoting Jesus. Don't you? I get quite sad when he's just put in a place on the sidelines. You know, he's central to everything God has done. He's central to creation itself. And he is the sole and only provider of life, and that life is life in the fullness of which you and I have. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, it's good to praise God for what he's given us and done for us. He stands ready to impart his life into those who will believe. A life that the grave has no more power over. Hallelujah. The truth of his words carry an awesome authority to break every chain, every curse that has ever been put on our lives. We are free, amen? We're free. Not just in the spirit, we're free to live in the destiny of our lives as children of God. Hallelujah. You may feel you're a small group, but by God, when you have Jesus in your midst, you've got more authority and power than anything anyone could imagine. Because he is the very source. You've tapped into the very source of life itself. Hallelujah. Isn't he good? Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life, and those who believe in me will live even though they die. Do you believe this today? Hallelujah. You know, because sadly, the negativism or lies and deception of this world will keep sitting on your shoulder and whispering into your life something else. But the word of God is true. Amen. We got to lay hold of it. No wonder why he said, eat and drink this in remembrance of me until I come again. Because we're so apt to actually forgetting. We have a memorial around that table we just shared in. It gave us a looking back in memory of what he's done. And it gives us a tremendous communal as a body sense of being part of something bigger. But it also says, but don't forget what I'm gonna, that I'm coming back. Hallelujah. Isn't he good? Praise his name. Okay. He says this, I have come to give you life and life in abundance. In other words, you know, there's no physical boundaries. This is one of the beautiful things about our walk of faith, isn't it? That actually we might live in this physical world, but God transcends those limitations. That's why we can pray for the sick. We can trust in him to override those things that the natural logic and reason says is not possible. Jesus says all things are possible because you're living in a place of life and life in abundance. praise his name. And John wrote, just as the Father is himself the source of life, in the same way he has made his Son to be the source of life. He wasn't just a carrier of something. He was the very center. Jesus is the center. I think we sing that song, don't we? Jesus is central to everything. That's why you can't take him out of the equation. You know, sects and groups who try to demote Jesus are missing it. They're missing it. You've got to have Jesus at the center of everything. And it's because he come and he gives the glory, of course, to the Father. And this, I believe, is a precious revelationary truth for our lives. Amen? And that the unregenerated life cannot understand. This is why we need the Holy Spirit so much to reveal these truths to us. We must believe with eyes and hearts of faith for this truth and reality for our lives. And so the power of this life is imparted when he speaks into lives, and his authority is seen in the words that no one can come to the Father except through me. See, he's got to be central. You know, praise God for the Father. You know, Jesus honored the Father. He says, I do nothing unless the Father tells you. There was such a oneness with the Father. And so there must be a oneness with us and Jesus. And that's only possible, of course, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But it's there, isn't it? And this is our dwelling place. This is the place where we worship and praise him and thank him for his goodness and provision of life to us. Jesus cannot be substituted by any other doctrine or any other thing, because if it is, we will miss it. He is the wellspring, the fountain of life. And his words are life-changing. He speaks what is into being. He has the words of eternal life. He is Christ Jesus, our Lord. I'm reminded of the prayer that he prayed in John 17. He said, for you gave him, he's praying to the Father and he's referring to himself, you gave him the authority over all people so that he might give eternal life to all those you gave him. And eternal life means to know you, the only true God, and to know Jesus Christ whom you sent. What a beautiful scripture. The challenge here is to know our God. The challenge is to know him. Not just have the theory worked out, but to know him. To get in love with him. To walk with him. To know that your dependency is so, you're so dependent on him that life without Jesus is no life at all. Hallelujah. I want to thank God today, don't you, for Jesus. You know, he's blessed us with so much in the promise of the future, and for this everlasting gracious gift from him is just so fantastic. We don't deserve it, do we? I know I don't. I tell you what, God believes you deserve it. With all the times you've done your own thing or screwed up or whatever, he still has kept loving you as the good shepherd. And he says, I will lead you home. I'm going to lead you home. I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. You know, you might feel alone sometimes, but I'm always going to be there because I've chosen you. I've chosen you to be part of my life. Be part of Jesus' life today. Amen. See, we're not worshipping a distant God, are we? We're not worshipping somewhere or someone who is untouchable. I tell you, he's embracing us. He's putting his hand in our hands. He's loving us. He's showering himself upon us. And that blessing is so wonderful and glorious. You know, I was thinking as I was doing this, and I was thinking, you know, like I said earlier, we've never seen heaven. We're living by faith, praise God. There's no other way to live. But we've never seen heaven, I know. Have you ever heard the story of what was his name, McCormack, the jellyfish man?
Yeah.
He went to heaven, and he was so impressed with heaven, he didn't want to come back. His salvation was on the account of his praying mother. And he didn't want to come back, did he? He saw something in that place that outweighed anything of this world. Now, most of us probably never see that. But I know, and if you listen to his testimony, one of the things I've always been quite encouraged with, what was his first name?
Ian.
Ian, that's it.
Ian
McCormack. Got killed, stung by jellyfish, died, and went to heaven, was put in the morgue, and woke up in the morgue because he had a praying mother. He said, if I stay here, my mother will never know that her prayers have been answered. Wow. And so he thought, I'm going to go back. And at that point he did. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing? Jesus actually gave him the choice. He met with Jesus, by the way. You know, he describes this. When you listen to his testimony, it's always the same. It's always sincere and passionate. Don't alter. Because, you know, I think probably that encounter got so imprinted into his life. He could never get away from it. It overrode everything else. That one thing. And maybe the truth of that's going to happen for you and me today ought to override everything else. Maybe it ought to be the thing that actually helps us to put everything else into its right place. Because sometimes, you know, the issues of life can become so big that they swamp us and we miss out on seeing the real glory and wonder that God is doing in our life day by day. Hallelujah. And I thought about, am I okay for another 5 minutes, Tammy? Thank you. You know, I just, having thought, never been to heaven, not sure, actually, we can get in our imaginations, perhaps, what we think heaven will be like. But I looked at a few scriptures just to see something of what it says about heaven. And the first thing I see in Colossians 1, that it was, all things was created, both heaven and earth, through Jesus. So it belongs to Jesus. It belongs to him. He was involved in the creating of heaven itself and all that is within it, in the same way as this earth is also. And we see that there's a river clear as crystal flowing from the throne of God in this place where we're going to go. Hallelujah. Pure, flowing from the throne, i.e. the very source of life itself. The river of life is flowing. And on either side of that river are the tree of life, is the tree of life, which yields 12 fruits each month. This isn't subject to seasons. None of this is subject to anything of this order here on earth. Streets are paved with pure gold. Walls adorned with every kind of jewels. And there's not even any need for the sun and moon to shine, because the light will come from the Lord himself. Hallelujah. It will shine. That was one of the things Ian McCormack actually saw. this glorious light that just shone from what he believed was the face of Jesus. Hallelujah. So there'll be no need for the sun or moon, and the Lord will be its light. And there will be a union with God that where we will dwell together. And there will be a comfort there for all our lives. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more pain. And everything will be made new.
Hallelujah.
And John 5 says, everyone who believes in Jesus will receive eternal life.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I think I'm probably preaching to the converted here. Yeah? But we can rejoice, can't we?
Yeah.
At the truth of this promise for our lives today. And Jesus says, who do you say I am? To Peter, he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. And we can echo those words today. I hope in every one of our lives today we can say, you are the Son of the living God, the Christ, the Holy One. We serve you and you alone. You know, you need to be born again. I know you will have preached this from this pulpit probably over and over again, but we need to be born again, for it is only those who are born again that will enter into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Paul said, you've got to run this race. You've got to be ready to run this race like you're ready to aim to get the reward that is available for your life. The condition has been set. As born-again believers, we now need to keep our eyes on that place, the winning post, if you like, the place where we, what Paul says, you will receive an imperishable crown upon your head that will never fade and never spoil. But when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that will never fade. For God has given to us eternal life and this life, John 5:11, this life is in his Son and no other place. Praise his name. And today's God's truth will set you free. Amen.
Yeah.
And even as Christians, sometimes we need a bit of setting free. You know, the wages of sin are death. The gift of God is everlasting life. The Lord has set you free from sin through what he accomplished 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. Now we have a promise that for all who are born again and believe in Jesus, we have an eternal destiny and a hope in glory. Hallelujah. And his glory will shine. I started by saying you're part of his family. The Word of God says in 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen race or generation or people. You are the King's priests, a holy nation. God's own people, chosen to proclaim the wonderful acts of God who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, like Mr. Kipling's cakes. Be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Every one of us, we're on our way to heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
May the Lord bless his word to us. Praise his name. Thank you, Tanya.
Thank you.